I got goosebumps, not gonna lie, with that story. God is provider. That's so cool. Okay, you have another one? Let's see. Yeah, why don't you come up? Yeah, come on up. New person coming up. This is awesome.
There you go.
So my dad's job is a bricklayer, and so he has to carry around a toolbox, a really heavy toolbox, in his truck all the time, or his car, which he had. And so when he was, like, driving down the interstate, or not the interstate, the old highway in Missouri Valley, his car, I think he said that he skidded off the road, and he flipped, and he rolled into a ditch, and his car and his toolbox, like, fell over onto him with all his tools inside and stuff. And so there at the hospital, he had to stay there 4 weeks, I think. And so I just sat there at home just praying for them. And I was like 7 or 6 at that time. It was like really scary for me. And so I just sat there praying every moment I got. And then the next time I saw him, around 3 weeks in, the doctor said that he could come home and that he was all right.
That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, coming up. This is awesome. You guys are so good.
On Wednesday, we had a guest speaker at our school, and he was like a leadership speaker, and he was talking. He asked the group a question. He was like, if somebody's having a hard time, what can you say to them to give them hope? And I raised my hand. He called on me. I was like, you can tell them that everything's going to be okay and to stay happy and positive. And he was like, you don't even need to say all that. Just the way you talk and you smile and you're so positive, that that made me happy and that, like, lifted up my whole week. And, yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's awesome. Wow, yeah, come on up.
Okay, so my dad has an employee that was given cancer, and he has 30 days to live. But we prayed for him, and we went to see him, and now he's a Christian.
Wow, that's so cool. That's awesome. Okay, yeah, you in the back.
Friday night, my dad was coming home, and he was driving on, curving on his motorcycle, but then the car accidentally bumped, and he rolled off, and then, he didn't get any scratches. The motorcycle broke and everything, but he was just fine and stuff.
That's really cool. Okay, yeah, last one.
I forgot to do this last week, but my grandpa, well, my dad's dad, so he was going to die, and the doctors keep on saying he's going to die, right? Because he has something in his heart, and, I don't even know. But, there's a lot of things messed up about him in his heart. So the doctor keeps on saying that he's going to die, right? Probably he's saying 3 weeks, but he never did. That's good. And after that, the doctor said it again, and I was worried. I prayed with my family, and my grandpa, I don't know if he's going to die, but he's coming to our house for like a week, because he lives in South Dakota, and we're just trying to pray for him so he doesn't die. So, yeah.
Okay, we'll take one more. Okay, but both of you guys have already gone, so we're going to do him. But share your testimonies in your group. We still want to hear them. And, yeah.
I don't know how long it's been since my mom and my stepdad married, but I don't know if it was 2 years or 3 years ago. He was pretty horrible to me. He yelled at me, called me cuss names. Mostly that was how he pretty much remembered my name, calling me the B word a lot. Now it's been a pretty good long time. He's opening up. He's taking in some of my Christian things. We're reading it together. I think there is actually hope he can actually be a Christian and for him to not stop and for him to stop calling me cuss names, which is actually working.
Yeah, we just believe that God can transform. Cool. Okay, without further ado, here's Drew. That rhymes.
You should write music. That was... Wow.
There we go.
There you go. I actually got four more. One in my... I don't know where... He pulled one out of the back of his shirt. It was weird. I would not think to store a mic in the back of my shirt. Awesome. I love testimony time. Thank you guys so much. That is so cool. I just want to say God does incredible, incredible things through you guys. And I love it. Never, ever hesitate to pray about something because you see what happens. You see what's happening here. When you have a chance to pray for somebody, think about it. Someone's hurt. You're like, should I pray for them or not? What's the worst case scenario? You pray for them and nothing happens, right? But they still got prayed for. So did nothing happen or did something still happen? Something still happened. So even if you don't see it in the physical, man, there's no reason not to. I love it. So guys, keep it up. I am so, man, I'm like jazzed now. I could woo! Do a dance, but you don't want to see that, so I'll save your guys' eyes. But we've been talking... No. we've been talking about purpose, and I'm really excited. What we've been talking about is how you're made to live on purpose, with purpose, for purpose. And we've been mentioning about how you live in your general calling or in your specific purpose. Those are the two things. And you'll have general callings that will be given to you just and given to everybody. Anybody who's a Christian is supposed to follow these rules. Anybody who's a Christian is supposed to love others. Anybody who's a Christian is supposed to honor God. They're supposed to stay faithful. Those are your general calling things. And what they do, they keep you on a path to discover your specific purpose, why God made you. But there's more tools that you can have. So in 1 Corinthians 12, and there's a couple different passages that I want you guys to just read on your own and dive into. So read the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 12. I want to read part of it here. If we can pull this passage up real quick. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. Here we go. It says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body." Okay, so it's talking about we got fingers, toes, liver, nose. Mary, your rhyming's rubbing off. And then it says, "Some of us Jews," so it is with the body of Christ in the same way. The body of Christ, what is that? The church, big church, all of us. So everybody that's here, the students that were at the one conference, everybody going to church this morning, all throughout the world, that is the body of Christ. So Christians, some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. What's that Spirit? Holy Spirit. Boom. You guys got it. So a lot of different people all share the same Spirit. I was just talking to Hallie on Wednesday, and she was like, all right, you preached on this and this and this. And my journal yesterday was this and this and this. And we're like, oh my goodness, it's the same thing. And I looked at her and I was like, it's almost like we're talking to the same person. We are. See? Multiple parts of the body, one Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, but not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, this doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Is a part of it. So I'm gonna skip the rest. There's a lot. We could read the whole chapter. It is good. But what it's talking about is everybody is made differently. Everybody serves a different purpose. Everybody has a different calling. You were made to do something different than the person sitting next to you. Look to your neighbor and say, thank the Lord, I'm different than you. Yeah, but, and then you can look at your other neighbor and be like, thank the Lord, you ain't as messed up as I am. So, so we're all made differently. We look at people. So what does it say? It says that there's different people, there's different parts in the body of Christ that some people, they look at and they go, that's the most honorable. Oh my goodness, I wish I could be like that. That's the thing. Oh man, I wish I could be on stage. I wish I could be a missionary. I wish I could this. That is the most honorable thing. When God says, no, I'm not calling God hasn't called everybody to be a missionary. God hasn't called everybody to be a pastor. God hasn't called everybody to teach at a Bible school. God hasn't called everybody to get on TBN and to preach to millions and millions of people. That's not what he's done. He's called each person and given a different purpose for a different place in a different time for a completely different purpose than anybody else. No one is able to live the life that you've been called to. Okay? No, listen to that. No one throughout all of history, no one ever to come, is able to live the life that you have been called to. You've been called to something so unique, so different, so special. And so what you have to do, remember the three questions I asked? Who am I? Why am I? How am I? And so you have to ask the three questions together. Because in order to discover your purpose, you can't do that without first answering the question, who am I? And without discovering your calling, you can't do that without answering the question, why am I? Okay? And so you got to go, man, who am I, why am I, and how am I supposed to do those things in my life? So I want for us to be looking at what we're going to do, and I'm going to challenge you guys to do this week. We're going to do this in small group, and we're going to do it this week. We're going to take what's called personal inventory. Okay? personal inventory. If you have ever worked at a grocery store or at a restaurant or something like that, or if your older sibling has, you know that there's a really, really boring part of the job where you take inventory. And you walk around and you go, how many bottles of salad dressing do I see? 1, 2, 3, 4... 18-ish. All right. How many? And you like, you got, how many boxes of this? How many this? How much this? How much this? How many? And you got to count everything and you got to write it down and then you got to report it and turn it in. And that is, and what you're doing is you're saying, this is what I have. This is what I have here. This is what I have. The store has in it. And so we do the same thing. Take a personal inventory. Let's look at what you have in your store, in your heart, with what God has given you. Okay? So what we're doing is we're looking at, these are different things, and so you're going to be asking questions to yourself to discover how you are so uniquely made. Because at first glance, you may go, I don't feel like I'm all that unique. I don't feel like I have all the, like, this amazing thing here. I don't know if I'm, like, all that great at that. I mean, I'm just kind of average. Like, for me, I am not great at anything. I am good at a lot of things. I am like above average intelligence, just slightly above average. I am like a little bit above average when it comes to like sports. I'm a little bit above average when it comes to like relating to people. I've just always been like kind of just like right there in pretty much everything. So I blend in really well in everything that I do. I don't stand out. My personality doesn't really let me blend in very well. But you know what I'm saying. Gift-wise, I am not that incredibly unique. But there's so many different aspects of you that make you different. It's not saying, are you the best in the whole world at one thing? No. What it's saying is, what do you have? What are you good at? What traits? So let's look at these things. You're going to be asking the questions, what traits do you have? Traits that you have, like, look at yourself in the mirror and you go, well, I'm shorter than a lot of people. I'm taller than people. I have dark skin. I have light skin. I have this. Especially, I'll tell you guys what, your skin color, it means nothing more than the pigment of your melanin and within your skin. But it does culturally mean a lot. Okay? There are people who I have not been able to reach, talk to, or they open up to me because of my skin color. I don't care about your skin color. I don't care. I don't really even think about it. I don't like all the race junk that's been going on in the world, like It's made me more aware of people's skin color than I've ever had to be. And it's kind of frustrating, honestly, because I would rather just talk to a person, not talk to a pigment. Okay? So what you look like. Now, this is the reason that there are laws for you have to hire different types of people in your business. You have to have different skin colors, different nationalities, different ethnicities, things like that. And why? Because you naturally will relate to people that look and act and feel like you. Okay? So because of that, everybody's like that. Everybody's like that. And so if someone looks and acts and feels like it, and you will naturally connect with them better than someone who looks different, acts different, and feels different in a conversation. Okay? So you have a unique, just your traits, what you look like, how your characteristics. I value this. These are the things that I hold close to my heart. Those are some of the traits, distinguishing qualities or characteristics that you have. All right. What skills do you have? Here's a skill. Ready? For example, we got a hockey stick right here. That's a skill. Okay? Elijah did not come out of the womb with a natural ability to play hockey. Okay, I didn't know that. But what he did is he learned, and he's been on ice, and he's practiced, and he's practiced, and he's practiced. I know people who in Jesus was skilled at carpentry. Why? His dad was a carpenter. And so his dad was like, Jesus, I'm stuck over here. Can you come help me out? Come here, shave that off. And then I'm going to twist this in. All right, here we go. Now we got. And so he knew more. He had a skill at carpentry. Paul was a tent maker. He had a skill that he learned. Things that you learn in sports, you learn skills. In art, you learn skills. And if you sing and you practice at it, that's a skill. But then there's also talent. This is something. Who here has ever worked super hard at something and someone else walks up and they just go, whoosh, and then don't even try, and it's way better than what you did. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it's the worst. It is the worst. I had a friend, and he's super athletic, and he was on the football team, and he was starting and all that. And I was like, yeah, but you don't understand how hard wrestling is. You know what? It's this. And he's like, well, I kind of get the rules a little bit. I wrestled, I think, in third grade. How about we wrestle? And I was like, fine, you weigh a little bit more than me, but I'm skilled at this. But dude was a freak athlete, and he destroyed me. And I was like, this is not fair. I've worked for years. I've done this. You just rolled around and ended up on top. And that's not cool, man, you jerk. And because some people have, so look at the things that you're talented at. The things that just naturally you're like, naturally, I find myself, I'm just, When a whole bunch of people get together to draw or to do something, I find myself usually being a little bit better, usually being a little bit above average than other people at this thing. And a lot of times your skills and your talents are intertwined, because you tend to find yourself going, man, I'm good at this. Let's keep doing some more of this. If you're good at math, you like doing your math homework, you'll complete your math homework. If you hate math, you'll really not like doing your math homework, and you'll really have a hard time doing it, and it's miserable. You guys know what I'm saying? So look at your traits, your skills, your talents, and then look at your experiences. What are things that you've experienced? My family travels all the time. Awesome. That's unique. That's a unique experience. I had a near-death experience. My grandma has had this experience to her. I have had this many pets. Different experiences, different things that help you to relate to other people, and different things that God's given you. You have experiences that make you unique. The things that have happened to you in your life, whether your parents are together or separated, whether you have no siblings or you're one of 14 siblings, it makes you, these are different experiences, things that have happened to you that make you unique. And then here's another one, your convictions and your passions. So these are the questions I'm going to have you guys answer. What gets you excited? What gets you excited? Go, okay, so I'm going to jot some things down that get me really excited. I get really pumped up when I hear about, for me, I like football. I like sports. I like Nebraska football. Come on. All right, if you boo, I'm kicking you out. I'm kidding. Just kidding. All right, hold on. So what gets you excited? I see a lot of people get excited about your sports team. Awesome. What, here's the next question for looking at your passions, your convictions. What breaks your heart? What, when you see it, makes you go, oh my goodness, that breaks my heart. Who here has seen the movie Lion? It's a movie about a boy who got lost in India. And he ends up getting sent to this orphanage, gets adopted by a family in Australia. He grows up, and suddenly there's this new technology called Google Earth. And he discovers, he starts looking around India, and he's like, I remember this. And he searches this whole area and finds where he lived, goes back and finds his mom that thought he's probably dead. I have no clue what happened. He's gone suddenly. And so when my wife and I watch this, we know that God has put on our hearts to adopt. And so when we see this, we're like weeping together, and we're like, we're like crying, and it's like, oh, you know, we gotta adopt all of India right now. And like, we're freaking out. But why? It breaks my heart to see things like, because it shows me my passions, my convictions, my direction. I talked to her parents, and we're like, did you not just bawl through the whole thing? And they're like, I mean, it was good. I teared up a little bit at this one part, but that's it. And I was like, all right. I'm not sure you're human. So what gets you excited? What breaks your heart? What brings you joy? When you see something happen, you go, yes, I love that. Like for me, testimonies. I love it. These are things I'm like, that brings me joy. Most services when I leave, if I ask myself, what was my highlight? Testimonies usually are that thing. It brings me so much joy. I love it. And then last thing. Remember Pastor Jason, his definition of calling. What you have, do we have that? Can we pull that up, Ben? I'm trying to remember. I don't have it written down. Who you are and what you have based on what the world needs, based on what the needs are around you. So you look at, then go, what does your world need around you? What are the needs that you see? People are lost, they're hurting, they're broken. This person needs that. Hey, wait, I have a skill, I have a talent, I have an ability to do something about that. Oh man, based on my traits, we probably would connect well. I can connect with that person. Things like that, all right? So we're going to do that. We're going to ask those questions. I want you guys to do that in your small group. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you've made each person in here unique and different than anybody else that you've ever made in all of history. God, may we find our purpose, our calling. Continue to give us a compass to find that, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Small groups, 8th grade girls, I'm coming with you.